Let's do
Blog
it.
Blog Talk Radio.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, no. Oh, yeah. It's Empowerment Hour. 365 days of motivation and personal empowerment just for you. It's your main man, Marvin Ronwin, and the crew. Coming to you live. Another Saturday. We're going to talk about what we must change. That's right. What we must change. It's on us, y'all. Let's get this thing going. Come on. It so much. Yes, I do. Welcome to the show. Oh, I just love it. I love Empowerment Hour. I love Empowerment 365. I love you. I love our people. I love the work. And there is no better love, no greater love than for self and kind. That's what it's all about. And what we want to do at the NAAEA is to instill pride in our people, right? Instill that sense of self back into our people, because some stuff been stripped out of us. That's true. Some been taken away. It's called subtraction. The goal here is addition and then multiplication, never division. And the only time you want to divide is to add to your division, right? So your divisions become multiplications. That's a little deep. That's math. That's math. But we got to be able to add to ourselves, right? Mentally, physically, emotionally, spiritually, socially, culturally. That's what must be done. The line should be lit up. We should be working together. We should be developing institutions right now, right, that define our own reality. We should be doing that. We shouldn't just be talking about it, but we should be doing it. It should be in action around the country, in every city, state, township, wherever you are, wherever black people are, wherever the formerly enslaved are, that's where it should be happening. Action on every front. So let's talk about the tenets of the NAAEA before we get started today. There are five tenets. It's called peace, the peace concept, because that's what we need. After you've been through what we've been through, you need some peace. You need some respite time. You need to recover and regroup and to be restored. And that's what it's all about. It's a restoration process for our people because we need to be restored to our rightful place. There's no doubt about it. How you do that? Politics, right? You got to understand the system that you live in. We say it every week. You got to understand the political system of the American agenda, the American system. Of politics. You got to understand that because you live here. Wherever you live, is going to be some politics going on. Even in your household, between your family members, there's going to be some politicking going on. Trust me, will be. You have to have a political agenda that politics needs to speak to what's going to be in the best interest of your children, their education, where they live, right? And those rules and regulations, right? And the money that flow through politics. You got to plug in. We need that. We need to have a political agenda. We have to have people in place that's going to align with our agenda so that we're protected and not rejected and never disrespected. We have to own ourselves, right? That's the ownership of a political agenda that helps us, right? So we can't be talking about, well, we're tired of talking because we can't be tired of talking because somebody has to hear your agenda in order for you to be effective, period, right? So if you go up to Congress or the Senate or any legislative body or even judicial body, they're going to be talking about stuff. We're talking about rules and regulations, right? You're like, oh, we keep talking. Yes, that's right. Because guess what? If you don't hear it, hearing comes through the word. Sometimes it's word of mouth, pass it on. Guess what's happening this weekend? Oh, yeah. Oh, and then they tell somebody else and then everybody goes. That's how it works. Word of mouth. Anyway, economics. You need an economic agenda, right? Money. Has to be somewhere up there. Sorry. Ain't nothing wrong with being poor. But it's a whole better life, trust me, when you got your ends straight, when you can drive what you want to drive, live what you want to live, and have what you want to have, and still be a decent person. Don't get me wrong, right? See, we have an association with money that says you got to be bad to have money. Let's erase that and say you can still be a great, great, great person and still be well off and still know how to manage your money and still educate your kids really well and still keep a roof over your head, still pay the bills, and don't have to rob, steal, and kill. Right? The issue with us, many of us, is poverty. And when we can start to fill in the gaps on poverty, then we got it. Let's go to the A. This one a lot of us don't like because it's true. A is athletics. That's health, wellness, fitness, nutrition. You got to have an athletic agenda. You got to take care of your body, your temple. Right? And again, we lead the league in health disparities. Look around, family, friends. You're going to see a series of things going on. When you understand health disparities, I'm going to lay it out for you. Thyroid, kidney, liver, high blood pressure, stuff like sarcoidosis, a whole lot of things that our people come up with. Cancers, right? High blood pressure, diabetes. Like last week I said sugar, right? We got sugar, right? Because of the health, right? There's a genetic predisposition for some of us because of the trauma and the stress that we've been through that you have to understand how it's impacting your body. So you have to regulate your stress. You got to manage what comes into your temple. It's just that simple. Don't be mad with me. Do something about it. Get up, get out, do. You don't even have to go outside. If you can't, move your body and things will start to change. But you got to look at what you're putting in your mouth, right? Sugar, salt, lots of that won't work. It just won't. It just won't work. Culture. We have to have relevant cultural programs. We do. We simply have to have relevant cultural programs for us, right? For our kids, for our communities. And that is the way that we will continue to thrive and survive. Y'all know what I call it, thrival and survival. We're thriving because we need to survive, but we can't be surviving by robbing and stealing and killing and hating ourselves. We can't do that anymore. Culture is a roadmap for people, and we don't have a defined culture. We have a manufactured culture through our experiences. That's why the NAAEA is so important. Things got to catch fire, people, so y'all know what's going on. Lastly, it's education, a comprehensive education. Ain't nothing like being educated. Not like educated as in indoctrinated, but knowing some stuff, right? We got some really smart people. If we could teach, train, and direct and protect those minds, we'd be good to go, right? We really would. So I'm asking you, go join the NAAEA, tell your friends, and let's get the ball rolling on some good things for our communities. We got to do it. And it's up to us to continue to put out the word of we're going to motivate and inspire ourselves. This has been the tenets of the NAAEA, the African American Empowerment Association.
Stan, the deck is packed today. I can hear you. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I hear you. I hear you.
Yeah,
I just,
man,
I
we got the deck.
I just love it when you're able to explain the pillars of the National African American Empowerment Association. You know, when we have institutions that define our own reality, quit trying to get in to fit in, this is where it's at, and this is what we're doing.
So true. Why we keep trying to get in to fit in? If you just be your original self, it always works. It always works.
But we must unify. And don't let's not sabotage ourselves. We should not look as to what we can't do. We can do all things.
That's
right. We can. We can do it. And so we got to quit trying to mimic other races and be who we are, original kings and queens, and make a difference.
I like that.
Right here on earth.
Got that right, Stan. We got to know who we are. You have to. 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 We got to know who we are. We got to love ourselves. We got to understand the importance of being humans, humanity, human beings. We have to. I'm going to the laws of my eye, and then I'm going to Brother George for the Willie Lynch segment.
The 42 laws of my. I have not committed sin. I have not committed robbery with violence. I have not stolen. I have not slain men or women. I have not stolen food. I have not swindled offerings. I have not stolen from God. I have not told lies. I have not carried away food. I have not cursed. I have not closed my ears to truth. I have not committed adultery. I have not made anyone cry. I have not felt sorrow without reason. I have not assaulted anyone. I am not deceitful. I have not stolen anyone's land. I have not been an eavesdropper. I have not falsely accused anyone. I have not been angry without reason. I have not seduced anyone's wife. I have not polluted myself. I have not terrorized anyone. I have not disobeyed the law. I have not been excessively angry. I have not cursed God. I have not behaved with violence. I have not caused disruption of peace. I have not acted hastily or without thought. I have not overstepped my boundaries of concern. I have not exaggerated my words when speaking. I have not worked evil. I have not used evil thoughts, words, or deeds. I have not polluted the water. I have not spoken angrily or arrogantly. I have not cursed anyone in thought, words, or deeds. I have not placed myself on a pedestal. I have not stolen what belongs to God. I have not stolen from or disrespected the deceased. I have not taken food from a child. I have not acted with insolence. I have not destroyed property belonging to God. The 42 laws of Maat. Everybody thinks we're mother. Who are they to judge us? Mother, mother, and they call us free where I am.
Mindset. I pause for a minute because I want you to think about mindset, right? That's a set of ways in which we think. Imagine for a moment if we begin to think that way, and we can modernize this. I'm not telling you what to believe. I'm just telling you what you can think about to modernize the have-nots. I have not taken from people. I have not stolen people's land. I ain't messing with nobody's wife or husband. I've done that kind of stuff. I've polluted myself, my mind, my body, my household, my family, my children. That's pretty good. All right, I'm going over to Brother George now. Just something to think about, y'all. Here we go.
Bring it. What?
Come on in. Come on. Come on, Brother George. Welcome to the show. How
yes,
are you?
Yes, sir. Thank you, brother.
You're welcome. How
today,
are you?
Today, I wanted to piggyback on what you just now said. I wanted to kind of give a definition as to what my purpose is for the different segments I read in the Willie Liston segment. And, the Kwanzaa principles, you know, put together by Dr. Malana Karenga.
Uh-huh.
Willie Lynch was designed to be a mindset placed in us. And it definitely worked because it's still working today. Because if it wasn't, we would be working together. We would be supporting our own businesses. We would be, we wouldn't be living in projects, we wouldn't be living as the poorest in this country. We would be prospering because we're scientific-minded people that have a history that bears witness to that. So when I read a Kwanzaa principle, the Kwanzaa principles are really a way of eliminating, deactivating the Willie Lynch tip that's in us. Now, to some degrees, some of us have deactivated portions of the chip, but it's still portions that's working you know, in full blast. And within the Willie Lynch segment, I read that because what I want, the way that you can deactivate your Willie Lynch chip is by thinking a different way than what you think now. By thinking of us as the scientific-minded people that we are. And sometimes it's hard to make our people believe that we are still that. We are still that. I don't care how downtrodden we look. I don't care about none of that. We are still the scientific-minded people of the world that gave the world most of the systems that we function by today. So let me get to that segment because I don't want to take up other people's time. Today, Kwanzaa principle is Imani, faith, to believe with all our heart in our people, our parents, our teachers, our leaders, and the righteousness and victory of our struggle. Now you think about that and think about how much we really believe that statement and how much we follow that statement and how much we need to start following that statement. Now, today, I'm going to go back to a book that I don't want to read out of it every week, but I'm going to have to do it today. I'm going to read from Blueprint for Black Power by Dr. Amos.
I like that. I like it.
I didn't hear him say this, but I believe that this is probably his life's work right here. And when our people invest their life's work into books, we should make sure that we purchase those books and support their cause so that they can continue, or even those who follow, you know, his leadership, his guidance, those that he mentored that are still doing his work can be funded. Thus, if Africans are to liberate themselves from European domination, empower themselves, enrich their quality of life, they must repudiate the power of Europeans to characterize their ethnicity and through it, gain power over them by characterizing their own perception of themselves. Africans must become the primary definers of their own ethnicity and determiners of their self-perception, character, and behavior. This means that Africans must develop a robust, wholesome ethnocentrism. The ethnocentrism of the European and Asian nations, which exercise global economic and military power, is notoriously high. No nation of people can arise to power without pride of nation and race. Ethnocentrism need not lead to racism. Pride of ethnicity empowers a group to best actualize its human potentials and possibilities, to protect its vital interests, enhance its quality of life, and maintain its autonomy. This does not require that it abusively dominate and exploit other groups and attempt to justify those activities in terms of racial superiority. Racism has given ethnocentrism a bad name, but Africans must not reject positive ethnocentrism for that reason. For to reject positive African ethnocentrism is to reject black power. Now, I know that was pretty complex what he said, because I've always seen Dr. Amos Wilson as a complex person. But for the most part, he's saying, like, we always have to feel like we got to include somebody else in what our struggle is. When we feel like we want to clean ourselves up, well, we got to clean up the world, too. No, we don't. We need to focus on cleaning ourselves up. Then we might can help clean up the world's thinking. We have to clean up our own thinking, clean up our own mess, and we are very capable of doing it because we have done it for thousands of years, and we just don't know it. And our people need to take more pride in finding out who we are and what we have done and contributed to human civilization. So, Brother Marvin, I know I was full this morning, this afternoon, but it's back to you, brother. Unless you got any
Brother
questions.
George, anytime. Okay, as always, what's that first step? What's the first step? I know you said we need to clean up ourselves. We need to educate our kids. You need to read books. What's the first step in the process?
Well, we have to really fully understand that the Willie Lynch chip is something that's real. That mindset is real. And we still have it, you know. And we have, in order to erase that mindset, I've said this before, we have to flood our minds and our children's minds with black accomplishments, with things that we have done good, the things that we have done, you know, with the human family, that the human family has benefited from. Because we're not, just because someone else decides that they need to imperialize the whole world or be supreme over the whole world, that was not our attitude when we were traveling throughout the world. We shared everything that we had in Africa with the rest of the world, including those 42 laws of Maya, which different ones translated it into different ways that their group could use it for. But we need to focus on just loading up on knowing the positive attributes and contributions that our people have made and start using those things. Use those things to our advantage, to advance, to move forward, to do things to make our people a proud and powerful people in the world again, and make our children feel proud of who it is that they are. Because right now, many of our children are ashamed because they don't know what they have contributed to human civilization. And the things that they're taught in the school system are what other people say that they contributed to human civilization. And that's going to be a big conflict for the next 100 years or so, because these people are not a greedy, selfish people are not willing to give up their greed and selfishness to give you credit for your credentials when they stole them. They're not going to do that. You have to take what's rightfully yours yourself, and you don't have to ask anybody for it. You ain't got to fight nobody for it either. It already belongs to you. You just got to take it and say it's mine again. So that's what I say, is the first step, bro.
All right. Thank you, Brother George. Beautiful, as always. I appreciate you. Let's thank Brother George. Wonderful Kwanzaa segment. Talk about Imani. That faith, we got to believe in us. We got to start believing in you and me and the beauty that we have that's been scarred and marred and covered up, been changed and challenged. What I'm saying to you today is identify with what's great inside of you. You need to be inspired right now to go out and do something with yourself and encourage your friends and your family and your neighbors to become the best that they can be. We got 42 laws we're running right now for a reason. We're running Kwanzaa for a reason. We're on this show for a reason. This man is reading out of books to you for a reason. We're educating ourselves for a reason, because you are great. And you need to know it. And that's the fact. We need to read. We need to change our mindset. We need to grow up. We need to mature. We do. The question is today is what we need to change. We have to understand how we need to develop ourselves and encourage ourselves to have pride. That pride in ourselves, in our race, in our history, in our future, in our children. I said pride, not arrogance, not disrespect. But to be the best that you can be requires you to do something on the inside first. The work has to be done on the inside of you. And once you get to that place when you know who you are, it's a wonderful thing that you know that you were created for a purpose and you are beautiful just the way you are. I'm going to the lines now. I'm going to the lines. Now, I love that song, Young, Gifted, and Black. How about that? What if our kids knew that, how beautiful they are, and we keep selling it to them, and they keep buying it? We selling love for ourselves here, and guess what? It's a free sale because you don't have to pay nothing for it, none at all. We got to pay for water. God gave it to us. We got to pay for land. God gave it to us. We got to pay for air. God gave it to us. We got to pay for fish. God gave it to us. We got to pay for everything. But guess what? You don't have to pay for love for yourself. It just is. I'm going to the lines. I'm going 9282. Coming up in just a minute. You got to know who you are. And you got to live it. You got to live it. And that's a fact. 9282. Coming right up at you. It's the power of the hour. Come on.
Bring it.
Yes, sir. Welcome to Empowerment Saturday. It's 365 days of you know what with you know who. That's all we do is try to educate, motivate, and inspire our people to be the best we could be. We ain't taking away nothing. We adding. We doing adding. Hello, brother. Welcome to the show. 9282.
Yes, sir. Good afternoon, my brother. How you doing, sir?
Good afternoon, sir. May peace be unto you.
And unto you be peace, my brother.
I appreciate
yes,
that.
Sir.
I'm trying to find peace on the inside.
Yes, sir. Brother.
What you got?
Look, brother, you know, I just enjoy working with our youth, you know, with Armstrong and wherever, because in trying to educate them, I learn things myself. You
mm-hmm.
know, I look, you know, I the God in me is always telling me something new. You know, as I said last week, you learn something new every day. You try to, you know. And what I realized this week is, what are we doing this for? You know, we need to define just what in the hell are we trying to achieve? What are our goals? And you know, we need to, as a people, start to predict our future.
Mm-hmm.
What I mean by that is, like businesses, you know, businesses have long-range goals, 25 years,
true.
30 years, of what they want to look like in 30 years down the road, okay? We need to, as a people, predict our future, what we want our future to look like, okay?
Mm-hmm.
But to do that, we need to still understand our past. You know, we need to understand, okay, where are we, where have we been, and who are, and what, and who have we been in the past,
mm-hmm.
and use that. Now, if everything's been fine in the past, been beautiful in the past, and what, who we have been as a people in the past has been fine, then we predict to carry that on into the future. But if it has not been, if we have lived in hell, And what we have been in the past and now, well, we know what we have been in the past. We've been in the immediate past, not the, but way back in the beginning, but over the last 400-some years, when we look back,
mm-hmm.
what we have been are niggas. Okay?
Oh.
And we have been living in hell. Now, the 42 laws or principles of Maya, if you're not going, that's hell. If you're violating those things, you are living in hell. And we have been living in hell as a people. Niggers have been living in hell. So moving forward as a people, what we should be striving for in 5 years, 10 years, whatever, that our goal is to get us to heaven. And
mm-hmm.
I don't mean death, brother. I mean heaven here on earth. What is
heaven? I like
heaven?
That.
You know what I'm saying? What is heaven?
Mm-hmm.
We should be striving as a people that in 5 years, 10 years, we will be living in heaven. And then when we agree upon that, then we have to start saying, okay, then what do we have to do to bring heaven to earth where we are living?
All right. All right now.
Then we fall back on the laws of Maya. That's some kind of guidance. The things we need. We need to eliminate most of the, excuse me, mama, we need to eliminate most of the bullshit that we've been doing. Okay? All the things,
he said,
the self-hatred. The self-hatred, the fornication, the adultery, the homosexuality, the lying and cheating and stealing, the child molesting, all of the things that go on in hell. We need to say we're going to eliminate all those things, and we're going to get the nigger out of us. We're going to replace the nigger in us with the God in us. Therefore, in five years, our goal is to be in heaven, right here on earth. That's, I mean, what are we doing it for? We got to give ourselves a talk. This is what we're working for, people. As a people, we want to bring heaven to our lives, all right? And then one other thing, right quick, brother. We have to understand, since we speak our master's language, that we were forced to take on in the plantation and conditioning our minds, what the hell is race? We have to tell him, get him to define what race is, what ethnicity is. He had to define those things for us. As far as we know, we never used those damn terms when we were people living in Africa. He told us about, well, there's a race. This is a race. This is ethnicity. This is your minority, your majority. It's his language. He sets these things. It's like a white man told me in California, when those in power controls the knowledge. And that's him. He controlling our knowledge. We arguing over words, over terminology, over adjectives, as they call it. You could be black is an adjective if you want to use it as an adjective. We don't. It's his language. We don't. If you look up the word black in the dictionary, there's some definition of the word black is evil, wicked, conniving, thieving. You know, when they throw it on us. So we totally dependent on him to tell us what he's talking about, his words mean. And they can mean anything based on what. And he has changed the meaning of his words. So we need to stop worrying about the ethnicity, race, and what. Damn that.
Understand what
he's using for, what he's using. Every time we have to look up the word in the dictionary, we're going to him to define his language to us. Finding God in us. We need to, brother, focus on ourselves, as the brother said earlier.
I like that.
We need to focus on us. Stop worrying about somebody else. We need to focus on ourselves, come together as a people, and set that goal out there. If our goal is to be in heaven in 5 years right here on earth, then that will dictate to us what we need to do as a people. We need love ourselves. You know?
I like
come
that.
Come together as one. Find the God in you, and we go on and on and on and on. But it would lay out our goal of what we want to be in the future will tell us the things we need to start doing right now, brother.
All right.
Right now. And
thank
I
you
myself,
so much, brother.
I want to be in heaven, brother.
All right.
In 5 years,
right here
if
on
not
earth.
Sooner, as a people, right here on earth.
All right.
Yes, sir.
All right, thank you, brother. I'll try to get back around to you.
Yes, sir. Peace.
That's pretty good. I like that. Thank you, brother. I thank you so much. Okay. Great points. Can't beat it. Going to the lines. But first, I want to give you a clip. Because we're talking about today what we must change. Listen carefully.
Number of things that I wanted to share with you. According to Pew Research, the net worth of white families in 2013 was $141,000. For black families, it was $11,000. Even less
than
the $19,000 it was in 2007. According to economist Edward Wolf of the University of New York, excluding vehicles and other durables, the median black family worth is just $1,700, while 40% of black families have zero or negative wealth. White family worth, in terms of financial worth, is 69 times more than that of black families. Given this disparity, how can you argue that racism is not a driving factor in income inequality?
Because it has nothing to do with race and everything to do with culture. And when you have a culture that doesn't... You know what? Explain to me. You explain to me why black kids aren't graduating high school. Explain that one to me. Explain to me why black kids are shooting each other in rates significantly higher than whites are shooting each other. Explain to me why 13% of the population is responsible for 50% of the murder. Explain to me why the number of black kids in prison, not for innocent reasons, not for walking down the street and getting pulled into a prison, is so high. Explain, if it has nothing to do with culture, explain to me why the single motherhood rate in the black community jumped from 20% to 70% in the same course of time that the civil rights movement has made such tremendous strides. Is America more racist now than it was in 1960? And if it is, please explain to me how that happened.
This man is talking about culture. He's talking about our culture is the problem. Your culture. I told you, better have a cultural agenda because that guides and directs your actions wherever you live. I'm going back to the lines. All right, again, what must we change? What must we change? All right, I'm going over to 8128. You're next on deck. Come on. Bring it.
Bring it. What?
We right here. 8128.
Last. How you doing, my brother?
I'm doing well, brother. How are you?
Oh, I'm doing great myself, brother. I was just going back to the books to piggyback off of what the other brothers, the previous brothers had said concerning our culture. You know, I'm looking in, again, one of my Bibles, the African American Psychology, fourth edition. And it's talking about Afrocentric home environment inventory.
Mm-hmm.
As an extension of what I was saying last week in terms of our mindset and what the brothers were talking about in terms of Kwanzaa. And I'll read from what these researchers have found. They said that an Afrocentric scale discusses far rely on self-reporting. Now, they're saying that our researchers developed an Afrocentric observable scale in the home. Now, according to them, the social cultural context of the home is one of the most important socializing environments for young children, especially children under the age of 5. Messages children receive in the home are often subtle and may promote pride in one's African heritage. Therefore, an Afrocentric home environment inventory was developed to assess these messages. Now, there are, and I'll read through them quickly, but I'm sure that everyone will be able to relate to them. There are 10 items in which to rate the home environment. Number one, the child has African American toys. Two, there is black artwork in the home. Three, there are black religious and other figurines. Four, there are African American children's books. Five, there are 10 or more African American books. Six, there are a variety of music. There are toys to learn about African American history. There are pictures of family members. The family members has subscriptions to African American periodicals. And 10, there is African American fabric or print clothing. Now, this was done to research. Now, they primarily researched black mothers. And they got the other half from black children themselves in terms of what would instill pride.
Mm-hmm.
From a starting standpoint, the principles of Kwanzaa being incorporated into us instead of the principles of Easter and Christmas and this whole mythical season for thinking of other people rather than thinking of other people like we have always done. We have our examples. And as a base, I think that looking at having things that identify us in our environment will start to change that mindset from that of the oppressor to us as our own liberators. Because when you look at the things that we've done and have always done, like the brother said, we don't need to save everyone else. We have always educated and saved everyone else in this world.
All right.
We don't have to go after it. We do it by doing it for ourselves. And that's starting by looking, getting an Afrocentric mindset, looking at what we have done, what we have, and what we basically look like in love, which is each other and all the fabulous things that we've always done.
I
the
like
only
that.
Thing
hey, brother,
that we have,
can you give me that list again?
Yes, the 10 items.
Run it down.
Okay. And children had African American toys. One, two. There is there is black artwork in the home. Three, there are black religious and other figurines. Four, there are African American children's books. Five, there are 10 or more African American books. Six, there is a variety of music. Seven, there are toys to learn about African American history. Eight, there are pictures of family members. Nine, the family members have subscriptions to African American periodicals. And 10, there's African fabric or print clothing. Things that identify us. And this is, they say, from age 5, or especially children under the age 5, because, as they say, children learn subtly. What they see and what they see you do and understand, they mimic.
True.
And that,
all right, brother,
I think, is a baseline for us to think about.
All right. Thank you. I'm going to try to get back to you. I like that. I like it. Thank you, brother. Now, see how simple it is? Here's the deal. The universities know because they've done all the research. We'll say it again. Those universities know. Follow the research, and there's a pathway home. Follow the research, and there's a pathway home. I'm going over to 3376. You're next on the Power of an Hour. Welcome to the show. Here we go. 3376. Oh yeah, 3376, you're live on the Empowerment Hour. 3376,
hello,
how are you? Hey, how are you, my sister?
My brother, how are you?
I'm doing well. What you got for me?
I'm doing great. Okay, when I think of the word mindset, what comes to my mind is a train of thought or a condition that's put in someone else's mind to live by or to operate by. So whenever a person operates out of trained thought or something that was beaten and ingrained into their mind, that they're different from what they were originally called to be and do in the earth, that's called control. So when the young man was talking about the Willie Lynch era and time and everything that he stood for, that's the period where we as a black or brown skinned people was trained and tricked to speak another person's language or use their English. And so I have an example of, because I've worked around other people that's not dark complected, and I was always pushed to speak your grammar, speak their grammar, pronounce the words the way they pronounce it. So now I'm at an age where it doesn't matter to me if I speak your language or use your grammar. I had to do that when I was younger, because if you apply for a job and you didn't speak like them and you didn't have that trained, that mind, that trained thought of the way they thought of things, then you did not get a job. If you didn't wear your hair a certain way, if you wore natural hair and you didn't straighten your hair and burn your hair with a straightening comb and some hot grease, then you did not get a job. And so I was talking to somebody the other day that Caucasian, and he said, well, I don't understand what you're saying. Here's the difference between the way I talk and the way you talk. Well, at this point in my life, I can truly say, and I said it boldly to him, well, I don't care to speak your language. I don't care to speak your grammar. And I said to him, communication is communication, and you know exactly what I just said to you. And so I'm not gonna change my train of thought, what I'm saying to you, to help you understand what I'm saying when you already know what I'm saying. So that, you know, control is a spirit of witchcraft. If you ever look it up or read about it, or read books or whatever about control, control minded, it's a form of witchcraft.
All right.
And that's what Willie Lynch did to our people when we were, they actually, would you want to say, comatized us, put us to sleep. If we learn how to read or write, they found out, you know what they did? This is not written in a book anywhere, but I got this from somewhere. I'm not at liberty to say where I got it from. They will put that rocking chair on the jaw and break your jaw so you would not be able to say or speak what you learned and what you knew. Because every time we try to get above or move up or move out, they find a way to inflict some kind of hurt or harm on us, prevent us. And they know if we unify, if we come together and talk and be on one accord, it's over for them, because that's going to move them out of their place of superiority. And that's what they tried to do in the first place, is make themselves superior and say that we were nothing, that we were lower than animals. And I'm going to say this one other example. Get off. But I was reading an article on, and I saw it on Facebook. Facebook is not all bad. There's some good stuff you can learn on it. So I saw on Facebook one day, and they was talking about Aunt Jemima and how great of a woman she was and all the different stuff that she added and contributed to the community. And then they showed a beautiful picture of her and said, this lady was erased from society by ignorance. My train of thought on that was, so why did you all portray her to be a dark? They portrayed her as being dark, ugly, not good looking in appearance, with some big lips with red lipstick on, and that's what they put on the label, on the pancake, and on the Auntie Mama syrup. So why is it every time we coming into ourselves that they decide to make what they said they did right, what they did wrong, they try to make it right? So the family was fighting about how she looked on the labels and on the box, and that's the only way they would sell her or put her out or put her work out there, is she had to be ugly, dark, painted over, whitewashed over, like she was lower than an animal. So I respond by saying that's not ignorance, and I made the statement that I just made, that I just said to you all. So we have come a long way. We have a long ways to go, because once we learn who we are and not worry about our past, what was did, what was done, what was said, we need to live in right now. Forgive that mess and move past that mess, and let's get into what we can do right now to come together, to unify, and move on. That's
all
my train of thought, mindset.
I heard that. I heard that. Thank you, sister. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Very.
You're welcome.
Very much. On that, I got to go back here. Thank you, sister. That's what I'm talking about. Mm-hmm. Sisters be coming through. The sister said, a train of thought, a condition, to live by or to operate by. And somebody is equaling that to mind control. You got to figure out who has conditioned you to think and feel and act and emote the way that you do. Culture is so important. Culture is so important. And the brother talked about the culture at African-American home and family. We got to get indoors. We got to see what's going on inside the house, how our children are being talked to and developed and treated. You got to think about it. You got to think about it. You got to think about it. I'm going to one clip, and then I'm going over to 7374, and this is going to tie into what the sister was talking about just now about those stereotypes. I'll be back in just a minute, and I'm going over to 7374.
Breaking now from Raider Nation, head coach John Gruden under fire today for comments he made in an email back in 2011. Good afternoon. Thanks so much for joining us at 4. I'm Kirsten Joyce.
And I'm Christian Casares. Let's head right over to Ron Futrell. He's following all the developments, and he joins us live in studio for us. Ron, what's the update?
Yeah, the email was from 10 years ago when Gruden was working for ESPN. He was writing to an executive with the Washington football team, and he was complaining about DeMarcus Smith, who was black and who was head of the NFL Players Association at the time. And Gruden said, quote, "Domboris Smith has lips the size of Michelin tires," end quote. Gruden told the Wall Street Journal, quote, "I was upset. I used a horrible way of explaining it. I don't think he's dumb. I don't think he's a liar. I don't have a racial bone in my body, and I've proven that for 58 years," end quote. Now, the NFL also...
Same stereotypes going on. Think it ain't still going on? Somebody's depicting you in a way, right? And that was 10 years ago. I'm sure John Gruden is a great person. Probably is. But it's still out there, just like the governor who put on blackface and the stuff that happens. We have to be able to identify with ourselves and break away from these traditional stereotypes. That's why it's so important for you to understand who you are. And you have to be your great self now, and not a stereotype, but a prototype. All right, here we go. I'm going over to 7374. Come on. Welcome.
Bring it. What? Be right here. We're not going anywhere. Be right here.
7374, you are on. Welcome to Empowerment Hour.
Thank you, thank you. Good afternoon, everybody.
Good afternoon.
Marvin, I will say that once you said direct and protect your mind, that really resonated with me. And I won't be eternal, yet I will be effective. One of the things that we need to do as a people is we need to start to question some things. You know, when we ask better questions, we'll get better answers. So one of the things we need to question are the cliches that's out there. You know, like, if it sounds too good to be true, it probably is. What if it isn't? What if that thing that someone is bringing in your awareness, what if that isn't too good to be true? And what if it's that thing that you've been praying for, that you've been asking for, that solution to your problem? So, you know,
I like
those
are
things that I didn't think I could have until I questioned, why not me? You know, why can't I have this thing? Why can't I do this thing? Why can't I become this person? And once I started asking those thought-provoking questions, the magic happened. Things just opened up to me that, you know, from where I came from, didn't even think it was possible. One of the cliches that I want to mention is, you know, sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. That is a lie. Words do hurt.
Got that
right. Because words are powerful. Words are extremely powerful. And I'll close by saying this. Like I said, I won't be eternal, yet I will be effective. So I'm going to say this. I heard someone say, speak what you seek until you see what you said. I'll say it one more time. Speak
Come on, sister.
What you seek until you see what you said. Family, we got to watch our words. Marvin, thank you for allowing me to share this platform with you and the family today. Be blessed.
Thank you, sister. Thank you. I like that. That's beautiful. See, the sisters is coming through. Thank you, sister. I like that. I got to go back here for that one. I like this. The sister said, sticks and stones may break my bones, but words may not hurt me. Won't never hurt you. I'm going to tell you this. Words hurt longer than hidden any beating, any sting, any fight, because words last longer because they stay in your mind. You have to understand the power of your mind and the influences that words, stereotypes, and images have on you. That's all the imagery that you see that comes into your consciousness. That's billboards, it's newspapers, it's radio, whatever comes in your ears, or your eye gates, your ear gates, right? Those gates, images go into your mind, and then from there, they begin to work inside of you. So you have to understand the power of your mind. Thank you, sister, for that. I'm going over to 9282. All right, man, this is a beautiful show. I love it. 9282, coming back around to you. Come on. I like this show.
Bring it.
Uh-huh. 9282, bring it. What you got?
Yes, sir, brother. Just want to say, culture
mm-hmm.
is our nature. Okay? Culture is our
like
nature. That's who we were born as. It's not a something that your culture is determined by your surroundings. And no, your culture is your nature. Honest people, trustworthy people, loving people, caring people, righteous people. That's your nature. And they want to equate it to culture. It's your nature. It's who you are. And it's not because you are from Africa that makes you great. You were born great. Our roots go back to God himself, not to some land mass that they call Africa, which actually was named for white European people called the Africanas, okay? You know?
It's pretty good, brother.
It goes back to God himself. You from God, your greatness come from your creator, from God, not the land that you, they say our ancestors were from. No, from God, as you know, himself is where we're from. That's what make us great. And finally, I'm going to say, words only have power if you give it to them. Let me say that again. Words
mm-hmm.
only have power if you give it to them. You do not let other people define you. Do not
like
give
that.
People the power over you to say something that hurts you. No, no. Call me ugly. Call me great. Call me whatever you want to call me. But I will not give you that power over me to drive me crazy because you said something. No. Now, if you swing at me, that's a different story. But whatever you say, the words you say to hurt me only define you. They only define you. It reveals who you are. If John Gruden wanted to say that Bella has some big lips like Michigan tires, it defines him. Okay? It defines him, and it tells you who he is. So don't let him off the hook and say he may be a nice man. Hell no. Listen to what the man is telling you. I almost called him something else. But listen, he revealing himself in his language, in his anger, in his frustration, and he's trying to hurt us with what he is saying. Don't give him that power over us. Words can only hurt you if you give them the power to, and I don't give folk that power over me anymore. I
All
used
right.
to, but not
30
anymore,
seconds,
no. Yes, sir, because I know now the words cannot hurt me. You can say anything you want to say. Nigga, what's that? You know, I'm not a nigga. I will not let other people's words hurt me. No, 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 no. Thank God I evolved to that point in my life to where I know now. No, I'm taking back control over myself. And whatever you say to me can't hurt me, man. I know that. I know who I am.
All right.
I know that God in me, brother. Peace.
Thank you, brother. Thank you.
Yes,
that's
sir.
All we got today. Hey, thank you, brother. Great show today. Thank you all for calling and thank you all for listening. Can't do without you. Right, we can't be in power without you. We can't make change without you. We can't. We can't get back to where we should be without you, without development, without training, without education, without conversation, without inspiration, without developing a new mindset and a new mentality and a new frame of mind that we think about ourselves and we project ourselves as positive, as bright, as intelligent, as brilliant, as God's people. The 42 laws are there. The sister made some great points. The other sister made some great points. The brother made some great points. I just want you to work on yourself. Take time this week to become the best person that you can be.
To read.